It says here, for God demonstrates. What it actually says in Greek, it says He stands together. He makes all things stand together. Alright? God demonstrates or stands together of Himself the love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, being sinners, Christ, on behalf of us, He died. God stands together His own love, His love. He shows us His love. An enemy. We were His enemies, but He died for us. He died for us. He died for us while we were yet enemies in Him. Now, how long did Jesus suffer on the cross? You remember? How long did He suffer on the cross? Well, technically 6 hours. But how long did He suffer on the cross? How long did Jesus suffer on the cross?
From eternity past.
Is God omniscient? How long did Jesus stand as a lamb slain? From eternity past, He felt the pains of that cross. And He did this, knowing all of this, just to consider this for a moment, that He did all of this. He stood from the eternity past, feeling the pains of that cross while we were not even born yet, and He knew every sin we ever commit because He had to die for those. He had to suffer those sins. Now, He felt the pains of the cross from eternity past, but in space and time, in space and time, right here. Here's eternity past now. Christ stood as a lamb slain and felt the pains of the cross and the absolute humility and the absolute betrayal of even His closest disciples from eternity past. But in space and time, it happened. Why do you think Jesus was out there in the Garden of Gethsemane in such great agony? Because He knew now what he felt in eternity was going to happen to that body of His. That body of His did not have nail holes in His wrists yet, did it? It didn't have the nail holes in His feet. He wasn't thrown up and humiliated naked on a cross. He had no clothes on. He was naked in front of those people. You always see Jesus with a little diaper looking affair on. He doesn't have one. He's naked there on that cross of Calvary, naked. He suffered in space and time for you. All of these, while I was in Fish Lake Valley, a woman asked me about Sheol and Hades. What does that mean? Where were every saved person all the way from Adam, right here in the garden? Adam was saved. He had faith. Eve was saved. She had faith. And a lot of these people that had faith here all the way to the cross, did they get to go to heaven? Did they get to go to heaven when they died? No.
They went to paradise.
They went to paradise. Here's the earth. Here's heaven up here. And down here is Sheol or Hades. And one side of Sheol and Hades was paradise, and the other side was a place of torments. Now, Cain is still there. All of the guys that rejected Christ, Nimrod, his mother, all of those are over here in Sheol right now, in the torment side. But in space and time, Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary and died for us while we were yet sinners. All of our sins. And then, when He died, He was buried for 3 days. He rose from the grave. He died for our sins, was raised for our justification, wasn't He? And then it says that many arose from the dead and they walked. There are a lot of different ideas about that. I believe that they rose from the dead. Many of those that rose from the dead actually never died again, that He took them to heaven with Him up here. Okay? Because nobody down here, it was only a promise from there to here, but now in space and time, Jesus did die for our sins in his earthly body, the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. How many of you know what Genesis 3:15 says? You know what that means, Brother Ross?
Can't quote it.
Here, what about it, Brother Roger?
Well, it's a promise of the competition between the Antichrist and Jesus.
All right, it's competition. The Lord is talking to Jehovah is talking to Satan there through the snake. Satan has his spirit of Satan is in the snake, in the serpent. And he's talking to him, and he says, I will put active hatred between your seed. Who's his seed? Your seed there is Satan's seed. That is that Antichrist that shall be born in the last days that may already be on the scene. Who knows? That Antichrist will be literally a son of Satan like Jesus is a son of God. Okay? Like Jesus is son of God, he will have Satan's blood in him, a rebellion. And he said, I will put active hatred between your seed, the Antichrist, and her seed, Jesus Christ, and you shall bruise him as to the heel, but he shall bruise you as to the head. In other words, he will be dealing a death-dealing blow to you. Here, at this period of time, all of the people in Hades got to go to heaven. Because now the debt has been paid. The debt is paid. Those in Sheol, or Hades, in the place of torment, get to stay there. For until this period of time right here. We're in the end of the church age right here, somewhere toward the end of the church age. There's going to be a tribulation period. There's going to be a rapture here. I believe at the very beginning of the church age, at the very beginning of the tribulation period and the end of the church age, there is a rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Then we have a tribulation period upon earth where 5 out of every 6 people are going to be killed, but there's going to be a lot of people saved during that time. There's going to be a lot of saved people, and the 2/3, 5 out of every 6 Gentiles are going to save, and 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed. We're going to come into at the end of the time here, we're going to have Jesus come back and save Israel. He's going to restore the earth and bring it back into order, and all of the carnage is going to be cleaned up, and for 1,000 years there will not be any satanic or spiritual demonic influence whatsoever. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Ezekiel 36, 20 through 38. 25 through 38. But then at the end of this, guess what happens? We're justified by grace. We're saved by grace. But there's people that won't have it. You never go to hell because of your sins. You go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what you call the unforgivable sin.
Amen.
You reject Jesus and you're gone. And you go to hell, not because of your sins. Now, a lost person will be judged how much he sinned, and he will be tormented according to how bad he was. Okay? But he will not be sent to hell because of his sin. He's going to be sent to hell because he rejected Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation.
Amen.
And he will be resurrected in his corruptible body that will feel pain, but it will be like asbestos. It won't burn up. And it's going to live forever. He will be resurrected and thrown into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever over here at the great white throne judgment. The destruction of the earth now as it is, that's another question, whether the earth will be burned completely up. I think it won't. I think it'll be purified like gold. And silver is purified. All the dross will be taken off. Because Jesus Christ died for that, didn't he? John 3:16. I think it will be that way. Some people think it will be totally dissolved and God will create a new heavens and the earth. But I think they're in the redemption plan that God redeems that earth. Okay? We're not going to argue about it, but that's my opinion. Then forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, we're without Satan, we're without demonic influence, we're going to enjoy heaven.
Amen.
When Marilyn, I used to take her to Fish Lake Valley. I tried to spend as much time up there as I could.
And I'd always take her on Cottonwood Creek, which is a beautiful place in it. But that's the only pretty place in Fish Lake Valley. There's nothing else out there. I said, wait till you get up every creek. And there's a lot of creeks in there, Maryland. Lots of creeks. And all of them have ponds and big streams and stuff up there. You get to go up there and watch the water coming down out of the snow-packed mountains. When we went up there, it snowed for the first 2 days. And we had to run a heater in the motorhome. Every night it got cold. Every night. But I took her up to Ted Gray's reservoir. He built a reservoir up there at the foot of Boundary Peak. And when she saw that place, tears were coming down her eyes. And she said, this is like heaven. I never thought in the whole world there was a place so beautiful as this. And out there, we threw a line out there, just a line with nothing on it. And what were the fish doing? They were rolling after a line. Nothing on it, just a line. Just rolling, hitting the line. Just rolling, just like at a fish hatchery. Place this full of fish. Nobody fishes there. She just fell in love with it. She said, this is the most beautiful place I've ever been. But it's not heaven, Marilyn. It's not heaven. She thought it was heaven. Tears just rolling down. I never saw. What have I missed all of my life? Wait till we get to heaven.
Amen.
And we'll know what we missed. All. I don't care if you live 100 years. Nothing in this world is as beautiful as heaven is. It just isn't. You've been to some beautiful places. I know you do a lot of traveling, Chris. But you know what? There's nothing as beautiful as heaven.
That's right.
But if there had to be a second place, it would be Fish Lake Valley. When you see those beautiful white mountains and those bighorn sheep and antelope and deer and wild horses all over the place, just like it was, it's the last frontier. You see all of that wild. Now, some people don't care about that, but I do. I love to see this wildness. Because I'm a little wild too, see. Heaven. Jesus justifies us. Much more then, having in verse number 9, much more having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Now, the wrath of God is eternal hellfire, isn't it? That's God's final wrath. Now, during the tribulation period, He's going to pour a lot of wrath on the earth. Or gay. It means swelling indignation. He is going to just absolutely saturate the earth with Satan's anger and violence. We don't have to fool with that stuff. Verse number 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled. Look at that word reconciled there. 10. For since we were enemies, is what it actually says, active haters of God, and we continued to be, we were reconciled. We were bought off the slave block. God laid aside our sins, laid aside our hatred toward Him through the death of the dear Son of Him. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. By His death. But what did His life do for you? What did Jesus' life do for you? What did He do in life?
What did He do in His life here on
yeah.
earth?
What did you do? How did He spend His time, Mike? How did you do it?
Being not sinning, being perfect, but doing all the miracles that were recorded in the past.
Proving that He was the Messiah of Genesis 3:15. Not doing one sinful thing in His life. Not one. Fighting people that He loved. Fighting people that you love is awfully hard. It's real hard. Fighting people that He loved. Being betrayed by the people that He loved. The pain of that. And not only this, but also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're exalt. Look at the verse number 11 again. Look at that word. That means that word means boasting. Exalting, boasting in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What can you boast about in Christ? Tell me. What can you boast about? Sister Andina, what can you boast about? Nothing we do. What can we boast about?
His salvation, His grace.
His salvation, His grace. You brag on Jesus. You know, they told me when I went to seminary, if you get up there and run out of anything to say, brag on Jesus. Every sermon that I preach, I try to brag on my Savior.
Amen.
I do. Because He is it all. He is all of it. We are sinners. Last night I preached a sermon. About 10 o'clock or something like that, I preached a sermon last night, and Marilyn was full of questions. Just full of questions. I had to retape one of the sermons that I lost in Fish Lake Valley, so I wanted to get it as close as I could to what I preached up there and put it out on audio anyway. So I did. John, the third chapter, the real John 3. And she came across, she had questions at the end of that, and she said, I don't understand something. Does God save us? Aren't we, when we sin, aren't we, you know, how does that work? If we sin after we're saved, how does that work? I said, well, God corrects us. But the lashes were laid on Him. We pay in space and time right now for our sins. If you choose to sin, you choose to what? Suffer now. It does not send you to hell. It doesn't send you to hell, but it gives you misery. Lots of misery. Lots of misery. You want to be miserable? Be a sinner if you're saved. Now, you can go out there a lost man and you can just revel in it, just relish in it. You can just have a good time. But you get out there when you're saved, Brother Roger, and it's not fun. You have a conscience, the Spirit of God in you, that just drives you nuts. Won't let you alone. He'll pester you. Not only this, but we also brag in God. We brag on what God has done for us. It used to really bother me when I went to these charismatic churches, these what we call Armenian theology. There's never been a real good Armenian scholar at all. Did you know that? What does an Armenian mean, by the way? You know what Armenian means? Brother Roger?
Well, your salvation is insecure.
Your salvation is not secure.
Repenting.
Yeah, you have to keep on repenting, keep on repenting, keep on repenting. You're not saved by grace. In other words, you're saved partially by grace and then by your good works. There has never been a good Armenian theologian. Nobody looks up to any of them. They're just not there. Because they don't understand the work of God or the person of God. They don't understand Him at all. Our God loves us. Our God died for us. Most religions have a scale there. You do your good works on this side and your bad works on this side. If they the good outweighs the bad, then you get to go to heaven. If the bad outweighs the good, then you get to go to hell. That's the whole idea of it. And the grace of God is just absolutely ignored. And the work of Christ is absolutely ignored, which is blasphemy, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
Verse number 10. We brag on God. And now not only this, but we also exalt and brag in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. We have been reconciled. What's reconciled mean? Brought back into fellowship. The whole world is filled with what? Unreconciled people. Unreconciled people. They want to fight each other. People fight each other all the time. They fight each other in marriage. They fight each other at work. They fight each other at play. They fight. I've been in a lot of gunfights and things in my life. I don't like to be in a gunfight. I don't like that. That's not good. That's not fun. I don't like that adrenaline. I was coming from Fish Lake Valley one time and went through the Deep Spring Valley. And these gangsters out of Las Vegas, I guess, one of them got in front of me and one of them got back at me and they tried to hijack me. Boy, I came out with a Colt Python shooting. They decided they wanted to get somebody else. I was going through the canyon one time and they started to hijack me. And again, I came out. and started firing, and they went away. I was coming up from Highway 14, started to turn up through California City up there one time, and this guy passed me real fast and then slammed his brakes in front of me. And then people coming down the hill, he'd run out there and try to crash them. He finally stopped in front of me and wouldn't go anyplace. And every time he started to ram my car with his car, I got out with that python again just like this in front of that car. And he took off and went so fast that he ran off the road out there and turned it over upside down in the desert. He wanted to kill himself, but he wasn't quite ready to die, I guess, from gunfights. But this is terrible, you know. Fighting, conflicts. But, you know, realize that we are active haters of God until we come to Jesus Christ. If you have rejected His procurement of salvation for you, then you hate God if you don't accept it. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, through one man. Who's that? Adam. And through Adam's blood, we are all sinners, aren't we? Any of you born without a sin nature? That sin nature is still in our body. Even though when we're saved, we have the Spirit of God in us fighting. This is what we call the war. This is what they call the two natures of the saved. The misery and the war we have within us, trying to serve the Lord in this world. Because we still live in this unredeemed body. Our bodies are not redeemed yet. Our spirit and souls are redeemed, but we're pestered. What the Lord says for us to do is study His Word. Study His Word. Study His Word. Study His Word. Deeply study His Word and make it part of us. And that will purify our lives. That's where we have sanctification. So death through sin. So death spread to all men because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. The lost people, do they have much of a conscience? Go down on 19th Street, Bakersfield, Union Avenue. Just go running around over there in East Bakersfield just a little bit. I mean, it's bad. You can get way out in the country. Come out there by us, and you'll see the gangsters out there fooling around. The gangsters come out in my backyard one time. They're going to have a big party out in my backyard. And you know, if you don't stand for yourself out there, you just get run plumb over. And I went out there, and I told them to leave. And they said, no, we're having a party. This is where we're going to have. We're meeting a bunch of our other friends out here. Well, I said, this is my property. You can't be there. Well, they just told me to jump in the creek. I went in there and got my shotgun. I went in there and got a .45 and stuck in my belt like that. I went out there and I said, you guys are right in the middle of my shooting range. And I started shooting out there. They jumped in their car and they took off so fast that they ran to the neighbor's field. Anton Giovanni, he said, where'd them tire tracks go through my field? Somebody ran in there in the car. I said, well, it's the gangsters. People are gangsters. They do these things. I don't like to be in these situations. It'd be nice if I could just have a calm life. Calm. Maybe I have to go in a rest home or something to be calm. Wherever I go, they follow. Death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of he who was to come. Adam was a type of who was to come, wasn't he? Was he? Who was Adam's father? God. All right. Who's Jesus' father? God. But Jesus' father came without, Jesus came without his father's, earthly father's blood in him, which is the contamination of sin. He came without that sin. Adam, who is a lot type, look what type. It's T-poles there. All right, 14. And he reigned from death until Moses over the ones having sinned. And it says, and Adam, who is a T-poles. This word T-poles. Typos. Typos, a type. That's a figure of speech. A figure of speech. There are similes. What's a simile mean?
Come alongside.
Simile. Simile means something similar to. All right, simile. How about allegory? Allegory. What's an allegory? An allegory, it comes from two Greek words. It means to say something different, to explain something that you don't know. It takes the known and unveils the unknown to it. And then what we have with a metaphor. A metaphor. These are all figures of speech. What's about a metaphor? What is a metaphor? A metaphor, it also comes from Greek meta and phero. Meta means with, and phero means to carry. You carry something on the spiritual world, and you put it alongside something in the physical world so you can understand it. Okay? We see all of these things. We have hyperboles. These are all figures of speech. Now, Adam is a type. Adam is a type of him who was to come. Was Adam sinless in the garden when he was created? Yes. But did he have volition? Yes. Do all angels have volition? Do all spirits have volition? These things were all created. All mankind has volition. Now, a super-lapsarian will disagree with me. Or an anti-lapsarian. Super-lapsarian, anti-lapsarian, infilapsarian, and sub-lapsarianism. Those are big words, aren't they? But there are people that believe that God created the reprobate and the elect. Now, if that is very true, if he created the reprobate, Brother Roger, what did he create? He created evil. Now, God, can God create evil? When he created Lucifer, he wasn't evil. No angel was evil. No spirit was evil, but they had volition. God, if he didn't give man volition, that wouldn't be just, would it? Would he be just? Would he create somebody to go to hell? But some people believe that God creates some people to go to hell. I tell you that God did not create anybody to go to hell. He did not create any evil thing. He didn't create Satan to go to hell. He created Satan with a volition, but he was perfect. Adam was perfect. Our second Adam was perfect. In the first Adam, we received death. In the second Adam, we received life.
Amen.
But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died. Have they? Are we dying because of what Adam did? Yes. Much more did the grace of God, the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. You ought to say amen. Say, Brother Russ, I appreciate your amens. That's like sic'em, you know, to a preacher. Don't get very many of them. I love that. Let me read that again. The free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God, the gift by the grace of God, the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from the transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification.
Amen.
For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, through the one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not easy to sin after you're saved. Not like it was before. There is a condemnation. There is a war in the flesh. You want to go do something, this ungodly thing, and the Spirit of God just troubles you. So then, as through with a transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through the act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Look at that. For as though one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. When God looks at you, you're justified. Justified. Just when you go to God, Chris, you won't have one sin there. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I go there, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to save me. It does. And the law came in that transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more.
Amen.
Huh. I understand more about the grace of God all the time because I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner. I was telling my wife last night there's two kinds of sinners, saved ones and lost ones.
That's right.
That is, sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
God.
We don't have any righteousness. The only righteousness that we have is what God imputes to us. What He imputes to us. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
So, verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." So, is that a verse? Because I've got friends that are, you know, super lapsarians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so,
it's hard.
I take them to this verse and I say, just like sin came into the world and affected all,
mm-hmm.
Jesus's death is for all. But they say the all there is only the elect.
For the elect.
Yeah.
1 John 2:2.
Yeah.
1 John 2:2. Let's go there. 1 John 2:2. And it couldn't be any plainer in 1 John 2:2. But they will take that and they will twist it up.
Yeah. And that's just
1 John 2:2. 2:1. Let's go all the way back to 2:1. Little children, may I write to you in order that you might not sin. You might not sin. But if anyone sins, we have a paraclete, we have a comforter, we have the Spirit of God in us. Toward the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He is a hilosmos. He is a propitiation. Propitiation. That's a covering. He is a propitiation concerning the sins of us. Now, this here is really hard to get around of. Even John Calvin's comment on this verse, he says the right thing. Because you can't get around this horse. You can't get around this one. You can't get around this mountain. This is quite a mountain. Not concerning the sins of us, but are us only, but concerning the whole entire world. The whole entire human race. That's it. Jesus Christ died for all man. All men. He died for all. That means that the atonement was sufficient to save all mankind. No man will go to hell because he's a sinner. You'll go to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ. The all men, right there. He died for all men. But it's only efficacious to those that believe. All through Adam, all the way to here, they are held in Sheol or Hades. But over here, at the great white throne judgment, they will be resurrected. And they will be. The reason why they're in hell in the first place is because they rejected Jesus. They rejected the way of God. They rejected the way of God. And then those will be judged also for what they did in their bodies. Because they have no atonement. The atonement was universal in that it was sufficient to save all mankind, but it was only applicable to those that believe, those that repent, those that call upon the Lord to save them. It's not the elect and the reprobate. Yes, God elected us in eternity past to be saved. He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life because He is omniscient. He knew it. Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the very world. He did that. He suffered all the way from that period of time on till the cross. And he looks back and he can feel it again today. All of the sins that you ever committed in your life were nailed on him right there, but he suffered from eternity past to space and time when it was laid upon him. There's many other scriptures that say the same thing, but how in the world are you going to get around that one? But they will say always. The whole there is talking about only the elect.
That's right.
But the greatest thing is what about the person of God? Has God ever created anything evil? No. You have people that take Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2 and try to say that God created a chaos. He did not create a chaos. He doesn't create chaos. He creates order. The chaos became after Satan, Lucifer, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, destroyed it.
And see, when I say that to them, they tell me that God can do whatever he wants. He's all-powerful, and we cannot question what God does because he can choose to do whatever he wants. So he chooses.
That's because he's sovereign. Then you go to Genesis 1:26. God made man in his shadow casting likeness, his spiritual likeness, and his in blood flowing likeness, and in his what?
Sovereign
likeness. He gave sovereignty to mankind over your eternal soul. You're sovereign over your eternal soul. You go to hell not because of sin, but because of rejecting the grace of Christ. How could that be if the reprobate were created? How could that be if the reprobate
were created? That's just God's sovereignty.
That's his choice.
That's his choice.
He can do what he wants
to.
He can create the bad and good. And we will go and we'll look at that in further in the book of Romans. And we'll see something that kind of lends to that. But you have to interpret it from all the other scriptures too. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other questions? Sister Andina.
Genesis 26.
What?
In Genesis
26. Genesis 1:26. He made man in his shadow casting spiritual likeness and his blood flowing likeness. That comes from Dom in there, and in his sovereign likeness. Man is sovereign over him, over his eternity, and that is the most dangerous gift that God ever gave to man. All right? I don't